Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my statement!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk some football here with Bob, Dave, and more. You guys have questions for the professor? Start texting those in right now. 710-710 is the Busy Hard Seltzer text line. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, why don't we just get out of the way right now? Give me your thoughts on last night's game and the performance of Gardner Minshew.
I want to hear Jim's thoughts on this. Jim, your Jacksonville Jaguars look pretty bad, as I've been saying. Gardner Minshew did not have a good game. What happened?
Well, Professor, Gardner Minshew was not allowed enough time to throw. Miami's pass rush was on him all night. It was a surprising part of the game to me because the Dolphins coming into the game hadn't really shown much of a pass rush, John. But, boy, that Jaguars offensive line. Honestly, though, Gardner checked down all night long, it seemed like.
Probably didn't have any choice but to because he didn't have any time.
Yeah.
But again, that's my big fear for him. Now, again, he's done so well, but I don't know if it was the blitzes, whatever it was. They play so much man. They didn't have one of their receivers out there, Clark, and so he was missing. But overall, I thought that the Jaguar defense is just pathetic. And that's what my big fear for Gardner is. He can get all these yards, even get the points, but he has to try to outscore everybody because that defense is so bad. I mean, Miami, this looked like the Bob Greasy Miami Dolphins back in the Don Shula days, just rolling up and down the field like that. And again, it's not that they're that good. They're not.
And their defense used to have Jalen Ramsey, Calais Campbell, Unique Ngakoue, Dante Fowler. It's ridiculous.
It used to be Saxonville.
Saxonville, that's right. John, it almost pains me to read this headline from NFL.com. The Hurdy Niners is what they called them.
What?
That is just...
That sounds like a Danny O'Neill headline.
The Hurdy Niners? Oh, Hurdy Niners.
Hurdy Niners instead of the 49ers. Mm. But Mullins is going to be starting for Jimmy G, and now Kittle's out.
Yeah, Kittle's going to miss. Since week one, the 46 players they put on the field in the first game of the season, and of course, to show you how bad things are, that was what the 160 air quality because of the fires and all that stuff and the smoke if it was out there. So they opened the season with a 160 average in the QPI, and so that was bad. Then they get 11 of their 46 players on the active roster in game one are hurt, either on injured reserve are not going to play this weekend, and they're down at least 8 starters.
Holy
it's incredible.
Smokes. Well, do you expect this to tail off, John? I mean, because here's the thing. Like, you look at some of these injuries. Like, the Marquise Blair, that's not because of COVID and the lack of workouts and everything. That was just a friendly fire, total accidental thing, with the ACL. So I feel like some of it is sort of just happenstance, but man, it sure is overwhelming looking at the number. You expect it to tail off a little bit.
I don't know if it will, because again, they're going back to the stadium that they believe in the back of their mind grabbed at their legs, and they got, because I mean, you think about, they had two ACLs, two running backs who suffered knee injuries there, a quarterback who got a high ankle sprain, and so of the guys that got hurt, so many of them got hurt with leg injuries on that stadium, and you got to be thinking that's going to be in the back of their mind, and they're probably going to get more injuries.
Didn't they have a collective group that went and looked at that turf, and they said, yeah, everything looks fine and fine, all of that?
Yeah, I mean, they had the player on Wednesday. The Players Association met with some NFL people. They checked out the stadium, and they said, no, this looks fine. We're okay on this. It meets all the standards. But, it's not going to meet the standards of a San Francisco Hurdy Niner team that
the Hurdy Niners.
Ugh, it's like it's pretty bad. But no, I think it could get more with more injuries.
Well, and they're staying somewhere back there. Is it like West Virginia?
Well, again, the story we talked about earlier this week. They're down at Greenbrier, the resort in West Virginia, and so it's like they had to fly the two injured, well, actually all the injured guys down there, but they flew Nick Bosa, and they took Solomon Thomas down there, and they were going to do the MRIs down in Greenbrier, and then the truck that was bringing the MRI machine broke down, so they couldn't get it till Wednesday as opposed to when they were going to hope to get it on Monday.
Professor, do you think San Francisco is going to go from first to last this year?
I think there's a chance, yeah. I really do think there's a chance. Because, when you look at the big picture, it's like, Arizona looks like the most improved team in football. The Rams look better than we thought. And so it's very possible that could be the case.
Rams defense looks pretty good.
Really,
I mean,
good.
I picked them to I thought it would be the Niners and Seahawks battling for 1 and 2, with the Cardinals being in third and the Rams last. But now, obviously, with all the injuries, it feels like the 49ers are much more likely. But maybe I didn't give enough credit to this Rams team.
No, I think I'm in the same boat. I didn't either, because, again, my standard thing is, okay, there's four guys that you can name on their defense. Victor Rapp, who is at UW. You can name Aaron Donald, Michael Brockers, and Jalen Ramsey, and I have no idea. You can say, okay, I know John Johnson's out there at safety, but can you name any of these other guys? I can't, and I study this all every day.
Is Ibukam still playing?
Yeah, Ibukam's still playing.
Okay, he's like a Central Washington, Eastern Washington guy, so I recognize that name. John Johnson, I always thought was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Aaron Donald, what a player. You just can't. That guy's a wrecking crew.
Oh, he's amazing. I mean, is there anybody that can block him?
Well, now he looks like a professional bodybuilder. I mean, the guy's showing off that physique on Hard Knocks. I mean, he looks like he's got 3% body fat, maybe.
Oh, but he's so good.
Just like Cortez Kennedy.
Yeah.
No, not.
No, he is like, not as far as,
the body, beautiful. Yeah. But I used to always think the guys that showed up and looked like that typically couldn't play.
Yeah,
you know?
He's an exception.
But he is an exception. Like, usually the body beautiful guys are more, they look good getting off the bus, but they can't play a lick, but he's both.
Now, he is just absolutely amazing and just remarkable to see what kind of talent he is. And, again, they're better than I thought. I didn't think they were going to be as good.
Can the Packers score 40 again, John?
Yeah, I think they can.
Holy smokes, they're on fire. And it sounds, Aaron Rodgers having a good game. They're running back. You know, he's Aaron Rodgers leaving. I'm not Aaron Rodgers. The other Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones, yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if they were both the same name or the first name. It's the same first name, Aaron
and
Jones.
And, of course, he did Lambeau leaps.
Oh, that's right. He went into the empty stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did some Lambeau leaps for everybody.
All right, John, I have an upset special for you. And, if you're writing for the Washington Post this weekend, maybe you could write your story and have the headline, Why the Broncos Will Beat the Buccaneers on Sunday.
Okay, and why would that be?
Why would that be, John? Because Tom Brady's getting closer to 44 now. He's a week closer than he was last year at the age of 43. And I just like Denver at home in September home games, Professor. They've got the altitude there, hotter weather in Denver this time of year. I went back and I looked. They'd won 11 straight games leading up to 2018 there in September in Mile High Stadium. John, it's an upset special there.
Okay, so the team that suffered four major injuries on Sunday, they lost their starting quarterback. Jerry Jeudy is questionable, their best young receiver. Cortland Sutton went on the injured reserve with a torn ACL. Philip Lindsay is not going to play, so they're going to be out. Do you really see that?
Are you saying you don't like Denver in this game?
Not with Jeff Driscoll going against Tom Brady.
Okay. All right, we'll see how it plays out.
I don't go for that one.
Hey, John, we played a cut from Pete Carroll earlier saying that we could be looking at a shootout in this game between the Seahawks and the Cowboys. And you look at the numbers for the defense for each team, that seems reasonable. Do you now, the fact that everybody expects that, and Jim gave us the over-under number, which was really high, I can't remember the number. But
56.
56.
Yeah, I saw it at 55.5 with the Seahawks favored by 4.5.
So what now?
Take the over.
So you're going with the over. You think it will be a shootout?
Yeah, and the reason for that is that look at all the injuries that are there. We still don't know about DeMarcus Lawrence. He's got a knee injury. And remember, as bad as the pass rush has been missing for the Seahawks, it's worse for the Dallas Cowboys. And they gave four players more than $5 million. Well, no, they gave three players more than $5 million a year. They didn't get Gerald McCoy because he got the quad injury and he had to get cut. They gave $6 million to Everson Griffin. They gave over six, to get Dontari Poe. And they paid two for, Alden Smith. And they have two sacks and six pressures a game. And a lot of that's because, again, Mike Nolan's putting in a hybrid defense, and it doesn't fit the talent of the players. I mean, Everson Griffin just hates it because he even had to talk him into letting him do a three-point stance.
Mm. Well, and the other thing about Mike Nolan, he's really conservative. I actually he was my coach for a while, and I just know he's that way. Mm-hmm. And I guess they haven't been running a lot of stunts and things like that down there. So Arizona, I think we probably talked about this yesterday, but again, I'm just marveling. They got Detroit this week. Then they go to Carolina, and then the Jets, and then Dallas. A three away game swing there, but I think they're going to be 6-0 when they're playing the Seahawks.
Yeah, very well could be. I mean, this division, and again, schedule is everything. Dick Vermeil taught me that, and that's why, you know, if the Seahawks can get through this next three-game stretch, of course, they got Miami next week. If you can beat Dallas, and again, they're with all the problems on defense, I mean, the team's favored because they can be outscored. I mean, they don't know if Diggs, their rookie cornerback, is going to be able to go, but they already know their starting two cornerbacks are out. You know, there's no Leighton Vander Esch, no Sean Lee. They still don't know about Tyron Smith. He's going to be the tackle, and if they have two young tackles, two young quarterbacks, I mean, they could be picked apart pretty well. And really, in the 120 minutes that they've played, they've only had a lead for 9 minutes and 39 seconds. Because we can talk about the great win last week, and it was a great win, but the win was set up by the fact they were down 29-10. And, you know, they're ranked 24th on defense in yards allowed. They can't stop the run. They can't get pressure on the quarterback. So, yeah, this will be a shootout, but I think that, Russ can cook like Emeril Lagasse for about 3 hours. He should get the win.
Yeah, you know, and their two tackles, I mean, Brandon Knight was an undrafted free agent last year. That's if Tyron Smith doesn't play. Mm-hmm. He was an undrafted free agent last year. And then this year, and I texted you about this earlier, John, there's you and I decide, what, 32, 33 undrafted rookies?
When you looked at the sheet, did you see Scotty Phillips on there, the running back?
I don't remember.
Okay, but, because what I had to start doing, and I didn't know because I had Scotty Phillips on their 53-man roster, but, again, he's practice squad, and he reverts right after the game. And so I sort of had to cut down that. So I think I did come up with 33, but that may have included Scotty Phillips. But it's like 32 or 33 undrafted rookies made the rosters on the 53, and we're up to 37 right now. So basically, if you had undrafted, and there was 428 undrafted players that signed, only one per team on the average made the team.
Right, and then we got this guy starting, Terrence Steele.
Yeah.
And he's started in two games, actually done okay, you know. But, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the middle of their offensive line is pretty solid. But, yeah, the two tackles, this should be an opportunity for the Seahawks pass rush to get going.
But it's not as solid as it would have been because, remember, Travis Frederick ended up retiring.
He retired, yeah.
And so they got Joe Looney out there. So
you just don't like him because his last name is Looney.
Looney, yeah. It's a little shaky. It's like...
All right, Professor, what do you think of the matchup between the two 2-0 teams, Rams and Bills in Buffalo?
Love the matchup because, again, we really get to find out where the Rams are, and we also get to find out where the Bills are because here's the Bills. I mean, you've got Josh Allen finally getting points. I mean, a guy that has been a decent starter but is only getting 19.2 points a game in all the starts that he's had during his career. Now he's getting 28 points, but, of course, he got him against the Jets and the Miami Dolphins. But they're at home. It's a good defense that they have, a very good defense, and they're better on offense. And, of course, adding Stephon Diggs was huge. And so now this will be a test to see where the Rams are on defense. And, if Sean Payton McVay can continue his great play calling on offense.
John, as far as the game last night, you know, everybody's into the, you know, Fitzmagic, all that, and his goofy outfit after the game. But obviously he's not their long-term solution at quarterback. How long until we see Tua?
I think it could be to midseason, if not a little bit longer. And the reason I say that is that, okay, sure, they had a great game, and so much of it because Jacksonville's defense, is a sack dumper, I guess you could say, as far as, Saxonville. I mean, it's just terrible. And so what you look at is that, they're not very good. And if that's going to be the case and you're putting a young quarterback out there, he has the potential to fail more than he can succeed. And so I think they have to see, if this team can get better, and it certainly was an improvement last night, but if it can't get better, then you don't want to put your quarterback out there to fail. I mean, we can talk about Joe Burrow and how well he did, but he has no blocking on the offensive line. He's off to an 0-2 start, but he's done well. But can he continue to do well under these circumstances? You know, you talk about Justin Herbert, who gets a surprise start because of the Tyrod Taylor punctured lung. He did well, but, you know, the Chargers of those three teams with the young quarterbacks are a better, they're the best of the three teams. They've got enough talent to be able to win. So, you know, I look at it, it's like I'd hold off putting Tua in there too soon.
Jim, maybe you can chime in before we're done with this question, but the Raiders at the Patriots, I'm wondering what the line is. John, I like the Patriots.
I do too.
Raiders playing really well, but, I mean, just Bill Belichick, he's got Cam Newton playing really well, and I just feel like he's always going to find a way to win. But 2-0 Raiders at Patriots, I think one of the more intriguing games.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, the one thing is, and of course, we spent so much time last week rightfully talking about how great their coverage cornerbacks are, and you saw that. But again, how good is the Raider offense going to be in this particular game? Now, it was very good against the New Orleans Saints, but, you know, Henry Ruggs is going to be scratched from the game. They got nothing but young wide receivers. You know, Waller's a little bit banged up. Josh Jacobs a little bit banged up. They're both questionable. They're expected to play, but, you know, I think that they took some pretty big heat, and of course they are really exposed, I think, at the cornerback position. And if that's the case, then I think you can probably see that you know, Cam Newton, you saw how well he did against Seattle last week. He should get some good yards and do a lot of good things, and they are at home in New England.
Patriots are favored by 5.5, Dave.
Oh, wow. That's a lot for a 2-0 team.
Yeah, nearly a touchdown there. Okay, John, the New York Jets, did you see what Bradley McDougal had to say about their practices this week?
Yeah.
Saying that they were too slow and they needed to speed them up. Boy.
And then he had to come back and say, no, I'm not talking about the way it's coached. I'm talking about the way that the guys are performing in practice. So he had to correct himself. But, you know, it gets worse and worse right now for Adam Gase. I mean, is there ever going to be a break on that one? Because it's just brutal.
What about George Fant? They gave him a huge contract. How's he playing, George?
No, he's not playing this week. He's got a concussion, so they ruled him out. So he played okay in the first two games. Now, again, he's not playing left tackle. He's playing right tackle. But he got a concussion sometime during this week, and so he's out. You know, two of their better receivers, Crowder and Rashad Perryman, they're out for the game, and so they're down to hardly nothing at the receiving core. And you have to feel sorry for Sam Darnold, because now here he is in the fourth year, and with the coaching change and everything else, you don't know if he's going to be good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, this could be one of those things, and we've seen it through the years, where you need to go to another team to do well. We watched it with Jim Plunkett, because you remember how Jim Plunkett just got absolutely destroyed when he was on bad New England Patriot teams. So all of a sudden, you know, he goes out to Oakland. It takes him a little bit of time just to kind of get his brain right, because he got hit so many times. And the next thing you know, he's taking the Raiders to the Super Bowl.
So you think Darnold could be one of those guys?
Yes, I do.
Right. John, a couple of listeners texting him with the same question, so I'll just ask you. Seahawks and Shaquem Griffin, do you think they're going to bring him up from the practice squad, considering their needs with the pass rush?
Very possible. I mean, because they do have one spot putting Rasheen Green on there. So, I could possibly see that happening. I could also see them maybe 8 to 10 plays, no more than that. You know, maybe doubling down with Jordan Brooks and have him put his hand on the ground and rush a little bit. Clearly, Alton Robinson is going to come off the inactive list, and he probably is going to get a bunch of playing time. I think, you know, one of the sad parts is if, you know, Benson Mayo is not able to go and he's questionable for the game with the groin injury, they had to keep him on the field for 65 plays last week. And I guess maybe that was a little too much for him, because that's a lot of plays to ask to be out there so much. So in the end, it's like it's going to be a scramble to see what they have for a pass rush. And who they have for a pass rush.
I think the Texans are going to start off 0-3, John. They're
agreed.
At Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has 10 sacks. They had 7 sacks last week. They're 2-0.
And they blitzed 56% of the time, more than anybody else in the league.
Keith Butler.
Mm-hmm.
There's your D coordinator, bringing him up. But, yeah, Deshaun Watson, that's...
And Watson's getting points. That's the thing that's so strange, because he's so good, but he's still not getting the points that you would think that he would be getting.
John, Minnesota's a home underdog to Tennessee. What's happened with the Vikings? You think they'll get it turned around this week?
No, I don't think so. I mean, what you worry about is that, and again, this is what we'll see with Dallas. You know, we've seen it with about maybe 3 or 4 teams around the league, and we're definitely seeing it with Minnesota. If you go in after losing your top three cornerbacks. And that's what happened with the Vikings this year. So now you have to put out young cornerbacks at a time where you have no offseason program. They just got torched. And then Cameron Dantzler, one of their rookies, Ohio rookies, who ended up getting a starting job, he's going to be out this week. So they have virtually nothing right now for experience at the cornerback position. Mike Hughes, probably in his, second year, is one of their most experienced cornerbacks, and he's going to miss the game.
John, you doing your show tomorrow?
Yes, from 8 to 9, taking phone calls.
All right. We'll tune in then. John, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, just download the podcast at 710sports.com. Well, we'll take a closer look at this Dallas team. Dave Wyman's got three players we should be taking a look at. That's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. A reminder, you've got radios in your homes. If you've got a smart speaker, just tell it to play 710 ESPN Seattle or 710 AM. Becomes a radio right there for you. We've got our player spotlight coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll talk with Cody Barton. So stay tuned for that conversation before we turn you over to the Mariners pregame show. But three players. Dave has identified three players on this Dallas Cowboy team that we should be keeping an eye on. Who are they, Dave?
Well, I'm going to start out with Dak Prescott, who I really like. I've mentioned that all week, but he's one of the guys that I said I would like to sit next to on a plane.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, I was more endeared to him because of what he went through with his brother committing suicide, or I think that's what happened, right? Yeah. So, and then he kind of went through some depression and everything, and I just thought it made him stronger to admit that he, you know, he was going through a battle. But
wait, you didn't agree with Skip Bayless?
Yeah, Bayless said that it was poor leadership. You know, so I don't know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with showing vulnerability, I just have always kind of had a soft spot in my heart because I, you know, when he had the chunky soup commercials, you know that they came to him and said, "Can you do this?" And he's like, "I want my brothers on here." So yeah. I just always, you know, admired him for that. Here's the other thing too, and we got a clip here actually. From Nick Eatman, a guy from DallasCowboys.com, who talked about his leadership in cut number 7.
He's actually really insightful, you know, with the media. He does a good job of telling just enough, but not, of course, too much. As far as like his leadership, I think that's his best quality. I mean, he is a leader. These guys will go to war with him and for him, and so, you know, I love Tony Romo. I loved him, but I think this team missed that a little bit. Romo wasn't exactly the same locker room type guy as Dak is.
Mm. Yeah, that's the thing about him. I mean, he talks about his backyard. He's got like a football field out there. Has all the guys come over? That's kind of what Dave Craig was.
He's got a football field in his backyard.
Yeah, like a football field, and
where's he live? Just,
well, in the expanses of Texas, I guess. But yeah, he has the guys over all the time. But I mean, as far as this year goes, he's number 4 as far as yards per game. He's thrown 382 per game, and then an 8.3 average, which is top 10. So, and he's a 68-69% completion guy. So no interceptions, two touchdowns only. But yeah, he's having a good, solid year. So I think he's one of those guys to be contended with. I think he might be one of their best player.
What do we got going on back there? Is that you, Jim?
Oh, sorry. I was just I couldn't help myself. But when you were talking about Skip Bayless and Dak Prescott, I saw a story and I went to it and then the volume was on. So sorry about that. But this you talk about some news that's disappointing. Skip Bayless, even after bashing Dak Prescott and talking about his leadership and depression, he got a contract extension. He's expected to get a slight raise from his $6 million annual salary.
He's a creep. All right, moving on. Let's. Who's player number 2?
Yeah, so Alden Smith, and the guy's very, it's a very interesting story. I mean, we all remember him from San Francisco 49er days. He had a sack last week, and you know, if you look at he's played in 2 games this year and made his way back from a lot of you know, controversy and, you know, a pretty long rap sheet. I mean, he's 31. He turned 31 today, and he has not played in 4 years. His last season was with the Raiders, and that was in 2015. So 16, 17, 18, 19. So he comes back, and, you know, I think he's got himself, you know, turned around, but he started off with like a drunk driving, and then there was some domestic stuff. There was something at the airport where he made a joke about a bomb or something like that. So, you know, this guy is interesting to watch. I mean, he had 19 and a half sacks in 2012.
He was a beast.
Yeah.
I mean, he had all the talent in the world, but he clearly had some issues with alcohol and just general behavior, as you mentioned, domestic, you know, situations, and then just poor judgment joking about a bomb in an airport.
Right.
Always a bad idea.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Dave, how hard would that be to come back after not playing for 4 years?
Yeah, see, I don't know, man. I mean, he's pretty young, so it's just a shame to me, though, because he missed some prime years there. You know, like in your late 20s, that's when, you know, athletically you're still just as good as you were when you were 21, 22, and then you've got the experience and the knowledge and everything, so... But, you know, obviously things were not right with him. So he's got himself right, but has a sack. So, you know, remember when it was him and Justin Smith?
Oh, they were Justin, a terror.
Justin Smith was not some guy that was going to get like 12, 13 sacks, but he would get 6 or 7, and he was just so hard to block. And, you know, he really had it going. So he's getting rejuvenated.
Yeah, Patrick Willis there, and yeah that was – that was a talented defense.
And that was good. I think Navarro Bowman was there at that time as well. And then the last guy is Terrence Steele, and I kind of talked about this with the professor, but this guy's an undrafted free agent rookie. And, you know, as we were talking about, I think John had a number like 32, 33, 35, something like that, the number of undrafted free agents that were rookies that made teams. And it's about one per team, basically, you know, depending on, you know, John said there was one guy that then went to the practice squad, whatever. But this guy is an undrafted free agent rookie starter. And this will be his third game starting at right tackle. So Terrence Steele, I think it'll be interesting. And especially if Brandon Knight plays for Tyron Smith, that's the other tackle, the left tackle. He's an undrafted free agent rookie from last year. So he played in the entire Atlanta game. So, I mean, you know, as John pointed out, they're not as good at center, but, you know, with the retirement of, what was the guy that he had some kind of a condition or something like that. It'll come to me in a second. But anyway, they're Zach Martin and Connor Williams at guard, and then the two tackles who could possibly, you know, be an opportunity for the Seahawks to get going with their pass rush.
Yeah, I saw something about Terrence Steele in the Dallas paper that he told reporters he didn't think he'd make it through training camp, let alone
much less be a starter.
That's
for
a pretty
three
cool
games.
Story.
And so you sit there and you look at that and you go, well, okay, if the Seahawks aren't going to get a pass rush going this week, they never will.
At that point, Jim, will you hold it against the defense, or will you still say, I want to cut them some slack?
Yeah, I think so, Bob, because what are they right now? How many sacks have they had? Three?
Yeah.
So a pace for 24, which
two of them coming from Jamal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
They're four behind the pace from last year. So if they don't get any this week, I'll be on board with you on that one.
By the way, Travis Frederick.
Yeah. Maura chiming in there. She's got it all right there.
Oh, did she? Yeah.
Right
Thank
off the
you.
Top of her head.
Yeah, always.
All right. Coming up, Fitzmagic defeats Minshew. Marshawn Lynch has a new job as a commentator, and Peyton Manning jabs the Patriots. We're going to hear all of that when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore. Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
Does Gardner have to shave his mustache, or does he have to grow a beard now?
I don't know. I don't know if he can grow a beard. That's what I was saying with the I'm sure he can, but the mustache is his look. He rocks it. Saw him in pregame warm-up with the cut-off sleeves. I mean, he's got a good thing going, but I'll stick with the beard and the chest hair and the senior citizen look.
That's the voice of Ryan Fitzpatrick being interviewed by Joe Thomas in the postgame, asking if Gardner Minshew was going to have to grow a beard. Did you watch the postgame at all?
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, so they had Fitzpatrick come back out from the locker room, and he looked like he was wearing an outfit circa 1970. It was like white pants with a floral pattern button-up shirt that was buttoned way down the middle with all this fluffy,
you have the chains,
fluffy chest hair hanging out. It was
he looked good.
It was quite a look. Quite a look.
That beard looks like there's a marmot on his face.
Yeah, oh. that is a thick beard, man.
That's huge.
That is. I would rather sport the Minshew look than that beard. That's a lot. That seems like a lot of maintenance and feels like eating would be problematic. Right? Wouldn't you always be paranoid that there's something collecting in there?
You would be for sure.
I absolutely would be. I would be going
well,
nuts.
They say that there's a disgusting stat about what shows up in beards.
Oh, I don't know. I don't.
Fecal matter.
Oh, come on.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
How?
I don't know. It catches
hanging out in
catches
bathrooms.
Lots of things.
Oh. Hey, Fitzpatrick last night, I got to say, he got the better of Minshew, that's for sure. What, he only had two or three incompletions, didn't he, or at one point?
I think two. He didn't throw for a ton of yards. He was just really efficient.
Yeah, I talk a lot of stuff about Gardner Minshew just because I love him, but I was worried about last night's game. I just thought, I don't think Miami's that bad, and Jacksonville was in a position of being the favorite.
They were at home.
Yeah. I don't know. I was concerned going into that game, but... How do you get, it was not one of Gardner's better nights.
How do you get your chin strap around that beard, man? That can't be very tight to your chin.
A lot of hair.
Very interesting new league coming up. They're starting their second season this Sunday on their YouTube channel and karate.com. You're going to be working alongside Boss Rutan, and the rule set is different. Everything is different about it, and I'm curious for you, as an athlete, but not obviously as a fighter, why was this something of interest? Why was this something that you wanted to be a part of?
Well, it was something I wanted to be a part of. After getting out the league, I go and train MMA fighter,
Tarkazin.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I get in there and I'm around with him a little bit, but the opportunity, you know, when they come, the first thing they like, you know, be a part of karate combat. The first thing I think of, it's Danielson, wax on, wax off. And I mean, you know, I was a fan of Karate Kid growing up. So, you know, it's something that, you know, I always had an interest in. I mean, not so much at doing it myself, but, you know, I love to watch a good fight.
That's Marshawn Lynch on with Ariel Helwani on the MMA show. And I guess he's going to be a color commentator for Karate Combat, which is a full contact karate league. I hadn't even heard of it. It'll be on YouTube. And former UFC champion Boss Rutan, who I've spoken with many times, will be commentating as well. I don't know what Marshawn's going to say. If that's his point of reference, is Danielson, wax on, wax off. I'm not sure what his color commentary is going to be like. Is he going to be calling everything the crane kick? Is it going to be... I'm fascinated by it. I'm curious to hear what his color commentary is going to be, considering he doesn't sound like he's got any real true knowledge of the sport of karate.
He can just say things in a funny way,
I guess. Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to end up being like a Jim Brown type of guy. Like later on, Jim Brown was in...
He was the original color guy on the UFC. Did you know that?
No.
Really? Yeah. The running back, Jim Brown?
The running back, Jim
You're
Brown.
You're kidding me.
No.
I had no idea.
Oh, wow. No, I had no idea. I mean, he was in a bunch of movies and, you know, The Dirty Dozen and, you know, I could name, there's probably another 15 or 20, but Marshawn just, you know, he's already been in a couple of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of off-Broadway type of productions, but man, he's got something that I think people like listening to him, whether he's calling a fight or...
Talking about his kids in Seattle that play for the Seahawks.
Or Skittles.
Or eating Doritos and talking about Christmas. So he told TMZ Sports, I'll be kicking it with Boz, watching guys get knocked out, doing all types of crazy moves in wild bleep Indiana Jones type settings. It's hella dope.
Yes.
How'd you like that?
The dope. Yeah. You sound really natural saying that, Jim.
Yeah, hella dope, Dave.
Hella dope.
But as soon as the runner's tackled, you're able to hear the play caller talking to the quarterback's ear. He has until 15 seconds on the play clock. Oh. And then somebody cuts the line. Now, certain teams, maybe in the Northeast, they don't cut their lines. They actually let it go all the way to 0 seconds. But for most of the teams, they do cut the lines. So you have to get the play in earlier.
I love it. I love it. Peyton Manning taking a shot at the Patriots. Didn't say by name, but he said a certain team in the Northeast. They don't turn off those headsets after 15 seconds. They just keep going.
You know, he's doing those insurance commercials with, is it Paisley? Brad Paisley?
Yeah.
I thought, well, he's got a script and everything, and it's you know, making him sound funny and everything. But then when I watched those Peyton places, it was right about the beginning of our quarantine. All of those, I think, are on the NFL Network, or maybe it's on ESPN, but he is hilarious. And it's not just, you know, him feeding lines here and there. He's got great timing and on almost every one of those. So he kind of goes through the history of the NFL, talks to different guys. Dan Pastorini about the flak jacket that he wore, you know, Billy White Shoes Johnson with his shoes and his dance and everything. I mean, he goes every aspect of the game and talks to different people about it, and he is hilarious.
Boy, I love hearing those names, Dave. Billy White Shoes Johnson. You remember how he clicked his heels together he was Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz after he scored a touchdown? And Dan Pastorini, love you, Blue. Yeah, that was fun. Earl Campbell, I don't know if that was the same era or not, but those were good times. I don't remember Peyton Manning being this charismatic, though, as a player. Do you?
Well, remember that one time?
He had great commercials as a player, though.
Did he?
Remember the I can't remember what the product was, but he was like in a supermarket stocking shelves, and he was chanting, "Cut that meat! Cut that meat!" Oh, yeah. He had a whole series of commercials there that he's always been funny.
Remember he had an interview?
SNL, he was hilarious.
That's right, he was on Saturday Night Live, and actually his brother did a decent job, too, in that. But Eli did, but remember the Pro Bowl? Where the kicker, his punter said something, and here we are at the beautiful Pro Bowl, and our idiot kicker is drunk.
Liquored up.
Yeah, got liquored up and making comments back home. And, you know, I thought, oh, okay, yeah, maybe that's, yeah. And from what I hear from Brock, he's just, and John Elway, he's just a solid, regular dude. I actually met him in the locker room in Denver because I went in to see the old trainers there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, you know, they introduced me to him, and they're like, yeah, this is the guy we were telling you about that would always play jokes on people and things like that. And I was like, oh, really? Thank you. I appreciate that. But, yeah, just very down-to-earth, regular guy. But he's got a knack. Maybe he ends up being acting, too.
Okay, well, how does Maura feel about Peyton Manning taking shots at the Patriots? We got to check in with Maura, don't we?
She's got a sense of
humor. I would take shots at the Patriots if I were him, too.
See, she's far too objective to be a Patriots fan.
So Bob and I were just talking
about. Can you guys hear me?
We were talking. Yeah, we can hear you. We were talking about Maura just now because I couldn't come up with Travis Frederick's name, and you know she texted it to me right away, and I'm like, yeah, she's got like a C. Raj brain.
Yeah,
like it just these things are just you're not looking these things up, Maura. It's just coming out of because you have an incredible memory.
A great recall, trivia. And she dominates the world of fantasy football. She's the queen of fantasy football.
Queen of fantasy football.
I try. I messed up and told people to start Gardner Minshew last night.
So I
guess I hopped on Jim's
No,
train.
That was
Maura,
a good
don't
call.
You listen to the show?
Jim's always wrong.
I know. He was doing well in fantasy football.
Like
three touchdowns this week.
It's the thought that counts. I like that thought.
You Gardner still Gardner like Minshew. Gardner, Jim.
Yeah.
I like that she says, I know he's always wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I caught that too, Bob.
Sorry, Jim.
I didn't find it as funny as you did, though, Bob.
That was pretty good, though. Pretty good. Was that all of them?
Yeah.
I thought there was one more.
There's
all right.
three good ones there, man.
There's usually three.
We got Maura in there. We got Harden chiming in.
We got that's right. And we got Marshawn Lynch is going to be doing color commentary for combat karate. We have to get audio of that. Whenever that takes place, and I don't know when this is supposed to start, but we, We must get audio of him doing color commentary on this.
It'll be hella dope.
It will be hella dope.
And just like this next interview is going to be hella dope, too. I challenge Cody Barton to a game of horse.
God, is just...
I'm going to beat Cody Barton at horse, I'm telling you right now.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
Why are you clearing your throat, Bob?
Because you keep playing the same note, Jim. You challenge everybody to whatever it is they do. Oh, I can beat you at that. Archery? I'm great with a bow and arrow.
Yeah. What if I actually win?
I would be stunned. I would give you absolute credit. I would absolutely give you credit. You were right. I was wrong.
Hey, Bob, it's getting late in my life. I live in the past, okay?
Okay.
But I will tell you this. Current events, I can play a mean game of horse, okay?
Yeah, I've heard from you.
Yeah. All right.
only from you.
Yeah. Even on the video we did for Adam Ray's dad for his birthday, Jim's doing a tour of his house. Here's the basketball hoop where I beat my sons in horse. Pretty good.
That's
for a 62-year-old, huh?
Yeah. Exactly.
Anyway.
So Cody Barton, he's going to get a taste of that.
Apparently he is. You guys can hear for yourself. We're going to have a conversation in our player spotlight with Cody Barton coming up with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.